okay. All right, I'm so excited. And, you know, I was in worship and bawling my eyes out again. I'm like, okay, is it hormonal? Have I had not enough sugar this morning? What's going on? But I just sense the Spirit of God here today in just a beautiful way. And I just want to remind us that we are on mission. And it's so easy to get sleepy with the chaos in life, right? Or the day-to-day or the mundane or whatever. It's so easy to fall asleep to the fact that we have a message, and this week is Easter week. The fact that Jesus paid a price that, gosh, we just live this life that we don't deserve. I'm just so grateful. How about you? You grateful? You grateful this morning? You grateful that what Jesus did for you? And I pray that as you raise those little babies and grandparent those little babies or be aunts to those little babies, that you'll never don't neglect telling them about the goodness of God. You know, the other day I walked into church, and one of the great women in our church, who right now is kind of has custody of her grandchildren. And you know, in some ways, that's a hard season. It's not, it came unexpectedly. It's not what she had planned for her life necessarily, but here she is. And she walked in, and I was just talking to the kids, and you know, one of them was just saying that on the way to church, they were talking about how God speaks to you. And you know, and he was saying, yeah, God can speak to us in a whisper. And we were just having this great conversation. And then Grandma said to me, okay, that's probably about all the attention you're going to get. And then they did. They ran all around the lobby. But I just looked at her and thought, well done. Because you are stepping into a season you didn't ask for, and yet the grace of God, I just saw it all over her life. You know, I was just thinking about that scripture, those unforced rhythms of grace. You know what I mean? That God, even though things happen in our life that we don't plan to happen, because it happens to all of us, and we end up sometimes in a situation where we're like, well, I didn't ask for this, and how did this happen? We get a little bit mad. Instead, I saw this woman beautifully and gracefully embracing this season and teaching and handing down to her grandchildren the things of God. Oh, I was just blown away again. I walked away and had a little cry, because that's what I do. I feel like I cry a whole lot more, which I don't know if that's good or bad, but we'll just take it as good, right? Whew, yeah. All right, staying the path. We've been talking about that, and what a good season this has been, talking about staying the path. What does that mean? That means staying on the journey of knowing Jesus and following hard after him 100%. And it sounds great, doesn't it? But there are some... Does that sound like a toilet flushing? I'm like, is that just me? It's like, what's going on down there? I have no idea, but we'll just keep going, shall we? We did talk about bottoms. I don't know if that instigated anything. I don't know what happened. That is hilarious. Okay, we're staying the path. Staying the path. Staying the path. Staying on the journey of knowing Jesus and following hard after him, even when it gets curly and twisty and challenging. And so I'm going to read a scripture this morning. Guys are going to put it on the screens for you. Picking it up in Deuteronomy. Do you say Deuteronomy? So the Aussies would say Deuteronomy. And you'd be like, there's no J. So why would you say Deuteronomy? I don't know. That's just what we do. We just mess up the language a little bit, you know? We're a little rougher and a little raw. Deuteronomy 5, verse 33. Deuteronomy is the fifth book in the Bible. First five books in the Bible are called the Torah. Just throwing that in there, just a little. You walk out of here a little bit more academic this morning, just because I enlightened you a little for no reason. All right, the Bible says, stay on the path that the Lord your God has commanded you to follow. Then you will live long and prosperous lives in the land you are about to enter and occupy. Don't you love that? Stay on the path that the Lord your God has commanded you to follow. Then you will live long and prosperous lives in the land you are about to enter and occupy. That's Moses speaking. So the book of Deuteronomy actually means, let me see, because I have to write, it means the second giving of the Mosaic law. So what happens in the book of Deuteronomy is that Moses is preaching, and he preaches about three messages, and he's reiterating at this part of Deuteronomy, he's reiterating the Ten Commandments. So what's happened is the Israelites, some of you will know this story, you've read your Bible, the Israelites get freed from Egypt. Remember, they come out of Egypt. They've been slaves in Egypt. So we're doing a little bit of Old Testament, a little bit of history. They're slaves in Egypt. They come out of Egypt. Remember, God parts the Red Sea. They get across the Red Sea, and they've been walking for almost 40 years. Can you imagine that? Packing up. I mean, it's hard moving house, isn't it, when you've got trucks and people to help you move. Can you imagine packing up tents and livestock and family and camels and, that's just crazy. And so Moses is speaking to the Israelite people. He is so passionate. He's delivering this at a time because he knows, firstly, he's not going into the promised land, but the Israelites are. And so he wants to set them up to follow hard after God, because he knows that when they hit there, there's going to be all kinds of opposition, all kinds of challenges that have come, and their parents, this generation that he's speaking to, parents, were not full of faith at all. Remember? They saw the Red Sea part. Remember that? They saw the Red Sea part. They start going, God drops manna from heaven, and still they're like, wah, 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 wah. Sounds like me sometimes. Does it sound like you some days? Oh, don't you hate that? That humanity just creeps up on us. And so Moses is delivering this because he knows that this generation are a little bit different to their parents. They're full of faith. They're anticipating what God wants to do. So he is passionately delivering the teachings of the Ten Commandments. And he goes on to teach about other things later on in the book of Deuteronomy. So the first thing he says is there is a path we're supposed to be on. Yes, there is a path that we are supposed to be on. Follow hard after God. And the second thing he says is that staying on the path produces a great future. Stay on the path. That's what he says. Stay on the path that the Lord has commanded you. This isn't the great suggestion. It's like, you know what? If you want to, you could just follow that way and see what happens. He's like, no. God's commanded that you stay on this path. And then you watch and see what happens. You'll live long. You'll be prosperous in the land that you are about to enter and occupy, called the promised land. God is setting them up big time. And Moses doesn't want them to miss out. He teaches about, a lot of us know the Ten Commandments. A lot of us know this stuff. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. You should observe the Sabbath. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder, shall not commit adultery. All this stuff that we know. And then maybe I'll just pull out two of them. You shall not bear false testimony against your neighbor. You know, we think of the Ten Commandments sometimes as these big, don't commit adultery and don't commit murder. They're like big ones. But what about false testimony? What about gossiping about someone? What about spreading stuff about someone that's not true, or being in a conversation where something is being disclosed about someone and you're sitting there and you know it's not true, but you say nothing? Because if I say something, then what are they going to think of me? And will I fit in this little group? False testimony isn't just about going into court and not telling the truth. False testimony is in my daily life, what's coming out of my mouth? In following hard after God, in staying on the path, I've got to make sure that what's in me is good stuff, because it's going to come out of me sooner or later. So if I've got an issue with someone, I better go to God and deal with that. The last thing he says is, you shall not covet. Goes on and talks about your neighbor's wife, your desire, your neighbor's house or land or servants or donkeys or anything that belongs to your neighbor. I just thought, there you go again. You know, the Ten Commandments that we thought were the big things. You know, what God has lumped into that is, you know, false testimony. What are we talking about? But also, what are we thinking? What are we doing when we're looking at other people? Are we loving on them? Or are we jealously wanting their life? You know, when I read that, I went, gosh, look at that. Flip, jealousy, comparison. All that stuff that gets in our heart and takes root and is just can be so ugly. And God is saying, yeah, I've lumped that in with the adultery and the murder. And don't you think that's quite shocking in a good way? It's like, hey, listen, you might have checked off well, because isn't that what we do as believers? Okay, so today I put God first and I didn't misuse his name. And yep, this week we'll have a Sabbath and I honored mom and dad and didn't murder or commit adultery. But what was rolling off my tongue, and when I looked at Sister Susie over there who just got the brand new car, what was I thinking? And Moses is so passionately going, listen, it's not just about those things that you, I think, are big sins. It's about all the stuff that is going on in your heart and in your mind. So I started thinking about this. I started thinking about Moses. He's about 120 years old as he's downloading all of this. 120 years old. Can you imagine? And he's still passionately preaching. And you know, we know Moses. We know he had his failings and his humanity. So we're like, okay, you're in good company with him. But I just started to think, if that was you or if that was me, or think about 21st century life with the people that are in our world, that the people that we lead, like our kids, like our coworkers, like God's placed us in a neighborhood, so maybe I'm supposed to have influence there. What are the things that I would want to hand down to them? What would I speak about so passionately into the hearts and the lives of those people in my world and those that I come across? I was reminded this week how, you know, with Easter week, how people, you know, as they're thinking about Easter, how open they are to church. I was having an eye exam the other day and just started a conversation and again, just invited this lady to church. It's just because she's saying, oh, so you know, she found out what I do, and you know, we just started talking about the services that we're having. I mean, it just can roll off. It's so easy. So I just thought, girls, this week, be inviting and bringing. It might be the only opportunity for someone to hear the message of the saving grace of Jesus. Who can I invite and bring? So I have listed a couple of things, and you know what? They're things that we've probably talked about a lot. But I don't know if you're like me, I need to be reminded a lot of the things of God. I do. Because when life gets stressful, it's so easy for things to go out the window, isn't it? When that humanity creeps up and we're like, yeah, I trust you, ooh, trusting, I feel my hands letting go of the bar that I feel like I'm hanging off of, right? All right, so what would I want to passionately communicate? What would I want people to know in order to stay on the path? So these are, again, like I said, stuff that we talk about all the time, but you know what? I just feel like it just doesn't ever get old, does it? Okay, the first thing, I would say love Jesus with all of your heart and love his house. If you want to stay on the path, you've got to love Jesus with every ounce of your being. Because if you do, you'll only want to do what he asks you to do. You'll only want to do what he tells you to do. All else fades away. And love his house. You know, I got saved at the age of 15. I got saved because a girlfriend walked with me to school every morning and every afternoon. And at that time, as a 15-year-old teenager, I was just afraid of dying. I just remember thinking, I don't want to die because what if I get buried alive? And, you know, we just have these thoughts and whatever. I don't want to get buried alive. And, well, like, I'm sure if you're dead, you're dead. You know, like, I'm sure they've figured out how to do that by now, right? But all these fears that I had as a little 15-year-old girl, and so this friend of mine would just share with me and talk to me about the message of the gospel, that there was a God in heaven who sent his son Jesus to die for me. And I remember at the time, I'm like, and I came to a crossroads. I knew that it was a moment in my life where I got to choose. I felt like God was, you know, I didn't understand anything about God, but I felt like, wow, this is an opportunity to know God. But I'm going to high school and I want to fit in with all the cool people, right? So I've got another opportunity. I could go that way or that way. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that I feel like God cornered me and I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. It changed the trajectory of my life forever, ever. I don't know. I can't even imagine. Well, I wouldn't be here for starters. I wouldn't be seeing all you gorgeous girls. But I can't imagine what a small little life I would have lived. Honestly, a small little life. And so they had brought me to church, but it was at her house because I came to church, a church like this, and I was like, ooh, that's a little bit different. Music's a little bit loud. These people move when the praise and worship happens and clap. Clapping in church? I thought church was... You know, I'd been to a couple of christenings. I thought church was quiet and, you know, the hymn number was up on there. But this was so different. I'm like, ooh, I don't know. And I went to her house a couple of days later and we said the sinner's prayer and I accepted Christ in her living room. And then I went to church a couple of times and then I stopped going. And then I remember a day in high school. I just sensed this compelling to go to the house of God. It's compelling. That's the only way I can describe it. And so I called her up, and her parents, every week for a number of years, drove me to church. It was 45 minutes from where we lived. And that's where I learned about the things of God. That's where I collided with the person I would marry, have family, but also the purpose that I had on this earth. And then a company of believers that when challenges happened, not just in personal lives, but even in church life, they were a great, great group of friends that said, hey, as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. We're planted here. God put us here through the great seasons and through the tough seasons. Come on, we're going to be fine. And we were. But I learned all that stuff by first surrendering who Jesus is and then being planted in his house. And when we raised our kids, you know, that honestly, and I mean this with everything in me, there wasn't an ounce of Steve or I who pushed them, really even coerced or not encouraged, but not that we discouraged, but we didn't point them to, well, you because you're our children, you're called to ministry. Not, there wasn't an ounce of that, not an ounce of it. We just raised them with two important factors. You would love Jesus, accept him as Lord and Savior of your life, and you would love his church. Because the church is the only thing on earth that God is building. So I want to be a part of that, and I wanted my children to be a part of that, because there are generations that will come after them that need to know the saving grace of Jesus, to need to know the Word of God, how to do life, how to figure out this stuff. That's all we wanted. So whatever career path you choose, awesome. We are so behind you. Go for it. Love Jesus, put him first, and be pillars in the house of God, whatever that looks like. Planted. Sowing in, giving generously, serving the house, however, whatever that looks like. Each of them in their own separate and different ways landed on, want to be part of do ministry life. I can't, there's no magic formula for that, I promise you. Just because they're our children doesn't mean that's going to happen. They have to navigate that for themselves. But I'm telling you, I am so passionate about people loving Jesus and being planted. Because it's when you're planted. You know, it's a funny thing. Whenever people are involved in anything, there's going to be challenges. At church, it's no different. When I came into church when I was a little teenager, I'd be like, oh my gosh, they're just perfect and love. Look, they just sing and they just smile and they're just happy. And they had issues. Later on, I found out. And that's what the thing is, we all bring our mess, don't we? We all bring our mess to God, and it's okay. We're all figuring this stuff out, and God is helping us. But we're supposed to surround each other and cheer each other on and not tear each other apart and not crucify. You know, Jesus died for us. He was crucified. We're not supposed to be stabbing each other. There you go. You just got that for free. Second thing. So I was going to be passionate. What would I hand down to you? Love the Word of God. Love the Word of God. Love it. Psalm 119, verse 105. I love this. Your word, God, this word, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. When I'm staying the path, see, I thought when I stayed the path, it was just going to be rose hedges all the way along. And it was just going to be lovely and sunshiny and little rainbows would pop up just to add a little color. But the path gets dark sometimes. Path gets overwhelming sometimes, gets steep. And you know what, girls? I've been doing this 30-something years. Okay, I've lost count. It might be 39 years. Is that right? I'm 54 minus 15. Yeah. Can't believe I can even. Who's not even 39? See? That's just wrong right there, isn't it? But I have to come back to the same thing you have to come back. When strife happens, when challenges happen, what does the Word of God say? What does the Word teach me? Again, another reason to be planted in the house. Because we come in here and we hear what the Word says. Another reason to be in a connect group. Why? Because you sit in a small group of women who get to know you and get to share their journey and share with you, this is what the Word of God says. Guess what? We just can't do this life alone. We like to think we can, but we can't. You know, I was just... There was a situation just recently that I was praying about. When I say praying about, I was having big suggestions to God. I'm just praying for this. And if you could, you know, what would be great is if this could happen then, you know what I mean? Now, I wasn't really praying like that, but that was my intention, honestly. I'm not really praying to God. I mean, I'm just telling him what I think he should do. Anybody else do that? Yeah. And so I could feel myself getting frustrated, anxious, control freak. See, God, if you just let me handle it, I'll figure it out probably better and quicker than you, right? And then I just heard the whisper of heaven. Psalm 55:22, cast all of your cares on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. So here I am keeping my care and telling God how to take care of my care when I should have been just giving it to him. And finally, I prayed and said, God, you know what? I'm sorry. Because I've been doing this long enough to know, so I just need a spanking, you know. But I know you well enough to know that you're always higher. It always is. That you know way better, that you always deliver and you do it differently to me. And sometimes that gets annoying because I think I know better. But when you deliver and I'm crying because this stuff happens and it's so personal. But God, you deliver and you always figure it out so blooming well. Why is it? Why is it that I wrestle or we wrestle with that stuff that we want to hold in? I want control. I want to. And he's like, get in the passenger seat. Didn't you yield? Didn't you surrender? When you said yes to me, it was everything. And so beautiful, you know, just I just went, you're right. I should know this stuff. I got tripped up again. Life got a little chaotic. I got tripped up. And like he always does, he did it differently and so beautifully, as he always does. I want to encourage you. The prayers you're praying, listen to what you're praying. Listen. Well, Father, I just trust you in this situation. Lord, I thank you that your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Thank you, God, that I can cast all my cares on you, that you will sustain me, that I won't be shaken. Isn't that a great scripture? The righteous won't be shaken. I feel like I'm shaken. Why? Because I'm hanging on to this thing. I won't let it go. I want it to turn out the way I want to turn out. I want the movie ending that I want. I paid $13 and the movie didn't end the way I wanted it to end, and I walked out of there going, oh, why did they end it like this? Ridiculous. You ever been in a movie cinema and thought that? Yeah. But just wait and see what he does. You know, girls, don't ever reduce the word of God to a cute little Bible story. You know, we read that to our little kids, don't we? And we see all the pictures and they're so great. Like, look at Noah's Ark. And look at, oh, wow, look at that. And there's two giraffes and there's two elephants. Oh, my gosh. And I'm just saying that because, you know, we can so easily forget. Oh my gosh, kids, did you know that Noah built a big boat? And do you know what? There'd never been a boat around, but God spoke to him. And then he said to him, go and pick two of every animal, and he put it on the boat. And do you know what? God took care of them. He took care of them. God's going to take care of you. You know what I mean? Make this word live. Because it did, it has, it is. It's living, it's breathing. You think about the Israelites. Just think about it. And yet, we're people too. We're human too. But they come out of Egypt, right? They've been slaves. They've been in bondage. Life has been hell on earth, seriously. And they come out and they get to the Red Sea. They've got the Egyptians chasing them. They're, you know, Moses going, come on, we got to go this way. Come on, get up, get with it. Come on. Can you imagine? They're running for their lives. Can you? I'm just imagining. You know, they all kind of wore cloaks like this. Not as colorful, Melissa, but... But can you imagine, they're running, the cloak is going like this, and there's camels fleeing, and there's kids under parents' arms. And they get to the Red Sea. Can you imagine? They get to the Red Sea, and they're like, oh, God, what? Like, seriously, can you imagine what is going through their mind? And then all of a sudden, Moses goes, don't worry, God's got us, God's got us. And they're like, are you kidding us? Are you kidding us? They're going to stab us, or we're going to drown. Like, what's going on here? And then all of a sudden, the water. Seriously, girls, the water divides. Like, this stuff, I mean, the water divides. And then they walk through, run through, because they're like, okay, I was freaking out back then, but now, oh my God. You know how you get this adrenaline running, rushing through your body? And then they turn around and the water's engulfing the Egyptians. And yet still, they forgot. Because they forgot who was leading them. They forgot what the word of God had said. The word that had been handed down to them. I've got you. I've got you. That a holy God would redeem us. This week is all about redemption. That a holy God, a God that whoa, I just couldn't even be in his presence. And yet he goes, no, 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 yes, you can. A holy God would redeem us, save us, and bring radical life change to you and I and those around me. We serve a God who rewrites history every day in our lives. History of my life would have looked so different if he rewrote it so beautifully. All right, we doing all right? You know, yesterday I was watching television. Yesterday, Monday morning, I was telling our staff girls this. And, you know, because Egyptian churches were bombed this week, you know, this is why we should be, you know, we should be running to the house of God to get together, because we just have it, honestly, so good. And we should be praying and lifting up the name of Jesus, because he will draw people then when that happens. Okay, so I'm watching the news and they're talking about the Egyptian, the, you know, churches that were bombed, which is just awful, 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 evil, evil, evil. And a gentleman got on and made this statement. He said, ISIS is all about getting rid of Christianity. And he said, and I just feel like there's not enough conversation about that. And I just, you know, it wasn't a fear thing that got in my heart, but I thought, not on my watch, not on my watch. Not on my watch. Oh no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But prior to that, these were some of the, this was a little thing that was coming out of my mouth. I remember saying to Steve, you know, because if we watch the news and get flooded with all the chaos and all the negativity and all the evil, it can so easily entangle us, right? And so I just made this comment to Steve. I said, Steve, this world that our grandchildren are coming into, just a simple little statement. And he said to me, God only sends those who are equipped to handle it. And boy, it just knocked me where I should have been, you know? I was like, great, little hit across, little slap. He didn't slap me, but, you know, I'm just giving a little word picture there. But listen to me, not on my watch. Oh boy, it got me into gear. And I just started to think, how am I living and breathing the message of the gospel on a daily basis? Am I living with this urgency that there are crazy, evil people out there and not on my watch? Will the message of the Christian faith, will the message of the gospel stop? Not one bit. And so I just want to passionately say to you all, listen, we live in great, exciting times for the gospel message. People are open because there is chaos going on. It's like, grab my hand, sister. This is where you need to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. A girlfriend of mine is walking through a very tough situation right now. Very, very tough. Her and her family were all doing ministry life together. And her son made some terrible, terrible choices and decisions. And, you know, there's been lots of tears and, you know, as she realizes that this child needs, you know, he and his family are going to be moving away and taking their grandchildren to get help. So it's a good thing. But it's devastating. It's not the story that she thought. Not at all. And here they were doing ministry. Everything was great. Everything seemed like it's humming along. And then boom. And I've watched this woman who I've known for a long, long time, long, long time, live the word of God in her life. Though she is devastated, she said to me, I have cried more tears than I thought I had, because she's brokenhearted. Any people felt broke, you know that? Oh. But I've watched her as we've texted back and forth, as she has quoted the word of God to me. And I am so proud to call her my friend, because in the midst of this, you know, when she wants to just go, I don't want to stay on this path anymore. It's not what I thought I'd look like. She's like, though he slay, like though the enemy comes, Jesus, I trust you. And so this week in her text, she said, I've cried and cried, but I'm grateful because God has a plan. I'm in his word. I'm trusting. I'm meditating. I'm praying. And I'm in a great church family. Oh. Number three, We're almost done. I would say passionately with everything in me, you are here for a cause greater than yourself. You are here for a cause greater than yourself. Now, I know we hear that all the time, but boy, I've just been reminded about it lately. Forget about me. It's all about we. Jesus said it. Whoever wants to be great, you be the servant of all. You get about helping and loving and serving other people. You do that really well, because the message of the gospel is you're saved, now get busy. It's about others. It's about the rest of humanity. Don't reduce your life down to yourself, because listen to me, I've been around people where the world revolves around them. And you know what comes out of them? This is what comes out of them. Cynicism, criticism, depression, very little joy, and small thinking. Last week we gave to, you know, all the baby things. And you know what? I'm sure there's beautiful women in our community who just single-handedly will come and donate stuff. But what we did together, and that's the message of the gospel, together. Not me, we. Not I, team. Come on. What we can do together. The last three points I'll just give you. This is what I would say passionately. Celebrate well. Oh man, celebrate well and often. You know, someone, a beautiful friend of mine who's a grandma or so, you know, one of her children is about to have a second baby. And first baby's a boy, and second baby they found out is a boy, and they're excited. But she said to me, the grandma said to me, you know, we're not sure if we're going to have a baby shower for this baby. I'm like, because she's got everything. I'm like, okay, this is a baby worth celebrating. But you know, but I understood where she was coming from. Well, we have everything and we just don't know. I'm like, no, you gather those girlfriends and you party up, honey. This is a new little life that's coming. It's not about, and if people can't come, it's okay. And if they don't want, they don't necessarily have to buy a gift, but you party, you celebrate, because life easily sucks. Oh, well, you know, it's not the same sex. So we don't really, I'm like, no, we are going to celebrate and we're going to have a good time doing it. But you know what? It's little things like that that can creep in that we feel like, oh, I really shouldn't. Yes, you should. Yes, you should. Remember, it's not about me. No, it's we are celebrating, enjoying the goodness of God, the fact that a little life is on the way and he's going to be a powerhouse. Girls, we've got to be good at this. There are so many cultures that are so great at celebrating. I'm like, you know what? I just want to be better at that. Number four, be kind. Be kind. I love this scripture, Romans 2:4 in the Message. God is kind, but he is not soft. Did they put that up there? Oh, it's right down the end, yeah. Because it's hard in the Message Bible to figure out where the scriptures start and end, right? God is kind, but he's not soft. And listen to this, in kindness, he takes us firmly by the hand and leads us into radical life change. Don't you love that? And I just think about us, you know, you at the mall with a two-year-old, which I was the other day, and he did not want to come. He wanted to, Jaxie, walk. He kept saying he was in the stroller. Jaxie, walk, Jaxie, walk. And we're like, no, Jaxie in the stroller. And Jaxie, you know, eventually, you know, they say it 50,000 times. You're like, okay, Jaxie, walk, all right. But Jaxie didn't want to walk. He wanted to run. But because we love him, we ran after him and grabbed him firmly by the hand and said, this way. And he's like, I want to go that way. Jaxie, walk that way. And that's what God does to us. He goes, you don't know how much I love you, and you don't know where you're going that way. And I, you know what? This scripture has helped me in dealing with people. God is kind, because we get muddled. How do we be kind and how do we love people? God's kind, but he's not soft. So that tension of I can be kind to people, but I can have a firmness too. Hey, no, the way you're living isn't right, sweetheart. I love you, but I love you enough to tell you. Last point, never give up. Luke 21:26. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for their heavenly bodies will be shaken. But you, my friend, you, sweetheart, you, when you hear the stories of terrorism and stuff, you go, not on my watch. Jesus is the author and perfecter and finisher of my faith. I have trust and faith in a God who has risen I serve him, and the same power that raised him from the dead lives in me. Thank you, Jesus, for reminding me. Thank you for reminding me. Thank you that this Easter week reminds me of what you have done for us and the price that you have paid, that I can have confidence as I come to you. I will not be shaken, that I can cast my cares on you. So this morning, I want to pray for all of our hearts. You want to place your hand on your heart. Father, thank you. You are just a faithful, faithful God. And this morning, I thank you for reminding me, because I sure got reminded this week. But I thank you that we all get reminded together what's really important: loving you with every ounce of our being, being planted in your house, loving your word, reading it, developing a devotional life, realizing it's not about me, it's about we. Lord, thank you that you've called us to be kind, to see the beauty in people, and yet challenge them at the same time. And Father, that you'd want us never, ever, ever to give up, but stay on this path. Lord, I know there's some girls here this morning, and it's just hard. And I know there's moments where you've thought, oh, that's it. I just can't. I want to tell you this morning, Jesus says you can. He says you can. He's for you. He's for that marriage. He's for that child that's given you a hard time. He's for that situation. Maybe it's in a neighborhood. Maybe it's at the workplace. Or maybe it's a personal thing that you are dealing with. Maybe it's past that keeps trying to rear its ugly head. God says it's gone. It's forgiven. I'm for you. And kindness, I'm going to grab you by the hand and keep you on the path. In Jesus' name. And while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, you know what? Earlier in my message, I talked about knowing Jesus. It all starts and finishes with that. This week, Easter weekend, all about Jesus coming to earth as a baby and dying for you and I, that we could walk into a life we don't deserve, but he goes, oh, I got you. I'm cheering you on. This morning, maybe you've never ever experienced what knowing Jesus personally is. Kind of been in church, but you've never really experienced it for yourself. I want to pray with you this morning. Maybe you've been in church for a long time and just feel like you're away from God. There's something between you and him. And this morning, sweetheart, I want to say to you, come on home. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you this morning, Sharon, could you pray for me? I'm not going to embarrass you at all. In fact, all of us are just going to pray together. You get to stay where you're seated. But just by a lift in your hand, you'll let me know, yeah, I just want to pray that specifically for me this morning. If that's you, just lift your hand and say, Sharon, yep, could you pray for me this morning? I want to know Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. I want to know him personally. I want to come back home. I didn't know him, but I realize my heart is a little far from him. If that's you this morning, just lift your hand up. Don't be shy. Just lift your hand up and we will pray for you. We'll pray for you all over this auditorium. Just give me a minute. Maybe your heart's beating a little quicker this morning. Maybe you realize, yep, I just need to come back home. God bless you, sweetie pie. Anyone else want to join this gorgeous girl who just said, yep, I know, I need to accept Christ this morning? God bless you, honey. Anyone else this morning? If you just go, oh, yes, could you pray for me? I want to know you, Jesus, personally. Okay, girls, let's pray this prayer together. The couple of girls that raised their hand, just repeat this after me, and all of the girls are going to pray with you. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you died for me. And right now, I ask you, come into my heart. Change me from the inside out. Thank you for forgiveness of sin. And thank you that today I walk out of here a Christian, Christ in me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.